see the signs and wonders? Can't you hear the distant thunder? Can't you feel the whole earth rumble? That's the dance of the rhythm about the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the rhythm of God. Dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Can't you see the fig tree blooming? Can't you hear the storm clouds moving? Can't you feel the mountains moving? That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance of the rhythm of God. Dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Think about you, all things past. Welcome to Jerusalem. And wonders. Can't you hear the distant thunder? Can't you feel the whole earth rumble? Can't you see the big tree blooming? Can't you hear the storm rumbling? Can't you feel the mountains moving? That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance of the rhythm of the ages.
Go ahead.
Hi. Gay is not sin. Jesus is asking a gay person to change their mindset. Hi, how are you? Gay is not sin. And Jesus is asking a gay person to change their straight. Hi. I've moved from Mount St. Helens over here to Coldwater Lake, which is behind me now. It's a really gorgeous day, as you might see above me. In fact, the temperature is actually in the lower 70s at times, and it's just hard to believe that it's so warm this time of year. People, you know, gay is not sin, and the Bible does not condemn gays. What I would like you to take time to do, you may see a phone number up there on the TV monitor, but please, there's also an email address. I would really like those that are viewing that think gay is sin to send me some email and tell me why you think gay is sin. Now, I've been on this television program for 23 years now, and I've been asking, and I've been going over these scriptures, and I've gotten at certain periods of time, I've got even hundreds of thousands of phone calls over these 23 years, and all kinds of email, and I would really like you to take some time when you do tell me gay is sin and explain the verses. Mostly what I hear from you is gay is sin. You're going to go to hell? Repent. God says it's sin. God hates fags. On and on. This is what you say. You say it's so simple. It's clear. Then you quote a verse. Maybe you quote two verses. Or you quote a part of a verse. And this is how you tell gay people that gay is sin. Well, there's 14 verses in the Bible that you can use to say gay is sin if you want to try to somehow get male-to-male sex involved. Now, 12 of these verses, actually 11 of these verses, was invented, as it were, not the verse. There's nothing wrong with the verse. But there was a few powerful Catholic leaders back about 720 years ago that had a problem. They were getting tired of people that come to power that didn't agree with their ideals. So they devised a plan to be able to get these people out of power, and their hope was to replace the people they got out of power with somebody that has ideals very similar to what they believe. And to do this, because it was Catholic-oriented, Bible-oriented, Christian-oriented, that they needed to use the Bible. And so they searched the scriptures to figure out which is a good way to point out to somebody that they are in disobedience to the Bible, and so therefore they could purge them out of power. You know, you already know people that the Catholics back in those days in the Vatican and everything, boy, if you didn't tote the line, you were excommunicated. And there are even more severe things that people have done to people that didn't go along with the belief structure or what the leaders say in consideration of these issues that they think is Bible or their doctrine. And so they invented this. They got this and they said, we're going to create this doctrine so we can make a scandal, point fingers at a leader, and then say that this person has to be purged, has to be taken out of power, and so, and therefore they can create a way to cause a scandal to make it so that we can have, they can have rather, a way to tell people, let's get these people out of power. Then they try to put something else in. Now these scriptures, 11 of them that I'm talking about, had something to do with male-to-male sex. And so they called it being gay. They didn't use that term in those days, but over the years, about 100 years later, the Protestants adopted this scripture. So, we have those verses. Now, after I said there was 100 years passed, and by then the Protestant had completely adopted this anti-gay doctrine invented by the Catholics. And over the years after that, centuries going by, finally the Puritans were being persecuted by other Christian denominations, and so they wanted to go to the Americas, and so they can have freedom to worship in their strict cult of Christianity. Now, when they came to America, they had totally devoured this gay as sin thing, and they really developed in a very heinous way the doctrine against gays. Now, these are the beginning Christians in the United States. And so this began to be a conditioning for all Christians in the United States. Now, today, for sure, and even centuries ago, people would, Christians would reject these Puritans because they don't go along with the strict adherence that these Puritans have. Now, they would say that these Puritans should be run out of town. And, you know, Christians do this kind of thing. The Mormons developed. We don't like them. We run them out of town, and they found their place. Doesn't matter if they're really Christian or not, or we really think they're a cult or some other thing. It's just, as general Christians, we don't like anything that is this way. But somehow or another, we do pick and choose some of their doctrines and devour it up so that we can make that our own doctrine. Now, so here we are with a doctrine in the United States that when you're born in the United States, or if you come from another country, you get this doctrine stuffed down your throat. Because generally speaking, for most of the United States, it's been fairly Christian. So it didn't matter where you were, it was a Christian government, as it were. It was Christian politicians, as it were. I mean, not in all cases, but generally speaking, we were pretty much a Christian country. And this didn't start changing until the 1900s. And in the 1900s, we started to get groups that wanted to do away with Christianity in a more stronger sense. And try to say separation of church and state and all this kind of stuff to try to make church totally out of any kind of governmental structure. But most of the time it wasn't this way. And so we as Christians through the hundreds of years here don't like certain things. And when we don't like it, we fight against it. We kill it. We do all kinds of terrible things. In 1850, certain verses were preached a certain way. And at a clergy convention in 1850, they determined that a certain verse that today people say homosexuals won't inherit the kingdom of God, well, before 1850, it was taught something differently. And so they, at this convention, decided that we cannot teach what we've been teaching on, in this case, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Because if we did, there would be nobody in heaven, because everybody committed the supposed sin that they were teaching that 1 Corinthians 6:9 taught in their eyes, or they taught to their congregations. So they decided to pick a new group of people to replace the people that have been previously taught would not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, prior to this time, there were 11 verses used against gays. And so, it was not too hard for them just to say, we will just cause this verse to be saying, homosexuals won't inherit the kingdom of God. And the words that they are referring to there are skenekotes, which means sodomite. Is actually in Timothy too. So by virtue of adding 1 Corinthians 6:9 to the anti-gay doctrine in 1850, they also added 1 Timothy 10 to the doctrine. And so now we had 13 verses. Now, for some reason or another, people like the garden. They like to say Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And so even though that verse has nothing to do with sex, basically, for most Christians, they just assume that Adam and Eve being created meant gay is sin. However, so this made the 14th verses that are used against gays. Now these verses are talking about gang rape. And this attempted gang rape, and when God destroyed the two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, this was gang rape. It was all the boys, all the grandpas, all the men, and all the people. Hebrew for people is women as well. And they wanted to go and basically rape to death the two angels. Now this sounds kind of funny to be a doctrine against gay people. So I ask you people, when you want to condemn gays, why do you use descriptions that doesn't describe gay people? So, to change, to get around to try to tell you people, you know, you can't actually condemn people by using the Bible. If you want to use the verses in the Bible, you need to explain how you get gays. Like I'm saying, attempted gang rape with the idea that you're going to murder your victims is not describing gay behavior. Other verses talk about male temple prostitute. This isn't guesswork. This is actually physically, you have these temples. Paul turned a temple, the most famous fertility temple. It had over 1,000 temple prostitutes. Shortly after that, he wrote Romans. And later, he wrote other books, and one of the books said You even have a statue to the unknown God. Now, in that temple that he toured was that statue to the unknown God. These are facts. So when you're condemning gays or saying gay is sin, you need to have something that is showing true gay relationships. Now, the Bible verses that you use are not describing these things. If you really want to condemn gays, you're going to have to look for verses that talks about gays. And gays are, give you a little example, boy meets boy. They date, they fall in love, and they get married. Basically, that is what you need to look for when you're looking for gays in the Bible. If you want to condemn gays, you've got to find the regular relationship that heterosexuals have in their marriages and how they met each other and all the problems and issues and the processes of dating and falling in love and getting married, all is what the word homosexual means. Homosexual does not mean gang rape. It does not mean you go to a prison and when a heterosexual man decides he's going to turn another heterosexual man into a woman so he can mount them and dominate them. This is not how you describe gay behaviorship. You also don't define gays as male temple prostitutes. Hebrew men often went to these prostitutes in Jesus' day and then in Moses' day. This is something really known and it was relatively common. And when you're reading scriptures concerning these things, there are many scriptures that even get into some pretty good details about these fertility temples. And there's a whole bunch of information out there in the historical record. Please do not condemn gays unless you know what you're talking about. As I said at the beginning of the program, I really would like you to email me your explanation of how you get a verse, a phrase, or a word to say gay is sin, or to be talking about gay people. I know you can't do that because these verses do not talk about gay.
Well, as you can see, I'm back home here. Had a really nice day up at Mount St. Helens. People, I've started a new outreach. I call it the Stables World Outreach. For my ministry, Stables Ministries. And I'm inviting any pastor. I got lots of pastors already joining up and participating. On my website, it's an internet outreach to the world. It's to pastors that are not necessarily big time and don't have a lot of support. Usually these are pastors that are starting churches, but, don't have much means, but they're doing fabulous job for Christ and reaching many people. And lots of these pastors from all over the world, for some reason or another, really want to join up with me to reach the lost for Christ. I'm giving you that are listening right now, especially pastors that are listening right now, join my ministry. You could come to my website, and you will see the menu link to Stables World, which will give you some instructions on how to begin to participate in the world outreach. Now, if you feel called of God and you have the website, you basically believe, I mean, not basically, you absolutely believe the Bible, and I am emphasizing the King James Bible. Basically, you're Pentecostal or you're interested in this, and you really feel that you want to be part of an outreach to the world, then come to my website. Join up. The basics that I would like to have is a web page from you, so I can put that onto my pastor's web page site. And I'd like to have a testimony from you, how you got saved, your walk with Jesus kind of thing. And a message that you feel that God is telling you about the world for his soon return and coming to Christ, and so forth. I have a couple of different kinds of conditions that you will read in the instructions, and one of them is that you cannot ask other people for money, and you cannot ask for material support. This is as you are. God has called you in the place that you're at now, and my ministry isn't out here to help you get big or get money to support your operational costs. This ministry is to reach the lost for Christ and to bring information to those that know Jesus that are believing things about the returning of Jesus Christ that is not correct. People, there are lots of things about to happen that we're not being told correctly in church. It's generally thought that we'll miss the tribulation. Well, let me tell you something. We're not going to miss the tribulation. We'll miss a lot of the really extra bad parts, but as far as we're concerned, when we're going through the part of the tribulation we're going to go through, it can't get any worse than that. There's 1,260 days set in the Bible to basically chastise the church. But it's not actually punishing the church as such, as that word might imply. It's actually a time that Jesus is fulfilling his promise to you because you believe in him, so that you can have eternal life. And so the process to do this, so you could enjoy, as it were, the rapture, is you have to be clean. Now, there's no way you can become pure and sinless and all this kind of stuff, but you have to be literally washed in the blood. For 2,000 years, symbolically, we've been washed in the blood when we accept Jesus. So when God looks at us, when Satan or anybody accuses us of sin and so forth, God looks at us and he says, you know, all I can see is Jesus, so where's the sin? This is how God looks at our sin. That don't mean go out and sin. It means that when God looks at you, when somebody accuses you of sin, he tells the accuser, I don't see any sin because all I see is Jesus. But we are dirty. When you die in Christ, this is the time that you're going through death's gate. You're not coming back. No near-death experience so you can explain a lot of wonderful things or bad things that you might have seen. When you don't come back, when you die and you go through death's gate is sort of a washing machine and the soap is the blood of Jesus. When you die in Christ, you're actually guaranteed survival of the washing because you've already kept your faith till you died. Now, I mean, your choice when you died and you breathed your last breath was Jesus is the Christ, Son of God. And you accepted him. And this did not leave you. So when you die, you're totally 100% guaranteed that when you're washed in the blood, you're going to come out clean and go into heaven. But if you're alive, you're full of choices. You can choose whatever you want. You got free will. So when you're washed while alive, that's not going to be fun. Just imagine yourself going into some commercial washing machine or something, and it's going all over the place and whirling around, and you know, and you're pretty dirty. So you got on the big cycle, the hardest cycle, the regular cycle of the washing machine. And there you are being scrubbed clean with the blood of Jesus. Now this takes 1,260 days of the first part of the trip. You're not being taught this in church. From about 1830 onward, we have been conditioned to believe we don't get to go through tribulation. We leave on the first train out. We miss it all. We can party till Jesus comes, basically. But this is not the Bible. Participating in my website also means that you have to listen to these kinds of things and understand them or get to understand them so that you can come to be able to talk about these things. I'm not going to force you to believe anything. You believe what you want. I'm saying this ministry of mine is telling the world that there is 1260 days of tribulation that all Christians are going to go through, and this is the period for washing in the blood. When we read the Bible and we read lots of wonderful verses, we read about being washed in the blood and so forth and so on, you know, the Bible isn't a game. It's about realness. It's going to happen, and you're going to go through things. Get ready. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Simple prayer, get you saved. Read the King James Version. See you next week.
Jesus is asking the gay person to change their mind.
How are you?
Gay is not sin. And Jesus is asking the gay person to change their strength.
Can't you see the signs and wonders? Can't you hear the distant thunder? Can't you feel the whole earth rumble? That's the dance of the real about the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Can't you see the fig tree blooming? Can't you hear the storm cloud moving? Can't you feel the mountains moving? Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Think about you, all things past. What's the future with the love? If the things are from this life, God is coming soon. The signs and wonders. Can't you hear the distant thunder? Can't you feel the whole earth rumble? Can't you see the victory blooming? Can't you hear the storm roaring? Can't you feel the mountains moving? That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the world.